Let's go over some optimal lineups. We'll start with, well, we did Atlanta and Las Vegas already in previous podcasts. I believe I did. I have to go back and look, but I'm pretty certain that those have already taken place. Well, maybe not Las Vegas. Let's look at Las Vegas. Optimal lineup for Las Vegas, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned these. I don't have the Phoenix in here, do I? That's not good. Anyway, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, your top two. Then Almirola, who started 29th. Ryan Newman started 25th. Busch started 28th. And Eric Jones slid in there. That was kind of the surprising guy that you probably would have missed. He started 9th, finished 8th, and he slides into the optimal lineup with 43 fantasy points. He must have gotten some fast laps in there. I can't believe that he is in the optimal. There's not another guy. But that's always that. We mention on the podcast all the time. I say we, like there's someone else. But you got to play that one play that you kind of got to hold your nose, the play that you don't like. And that would be Eric Jones right there, starting 9th, finishing 8th, average running position of 11th. 43 fantasy points isn't a lot, but you look at the top 10 fantasy scores. So if I had to look at the top 10, you got Harvick with the most points, Busch with the second most, Almirola third. Then you've got Martin Truex Jr. at 10,500. You couldn't afford him if you had Harvick and Busch. You got Joey Logano at 9,300. Again, too expensive. Kyle Larson with the sixth most fantasy points, 9,800, too much. Ryan Newman, you've already got him in the lineup. Brad Keselowski, 9,400, can't afford him. Chris Buescher, 5,700, he's already in your lineup. And the 10th most fantasy points at 8,300 was Eric Jones. And so he slides in above Ryan Blaney, who's 8,700, who scored 41.25. Blaney seemed like a better pick. Blaney was starting on the pole. But Blaney loses four place differential points and doesn't really lead a lot of laps. He seemed like the smarter play. Maybe a little risky starting on the pole at Las Vegas. But we do know that Las Vegas and Texas are where Blaney typically does well. But clearly, Jones was the one that you were going to hold your breath if you played them. I don't see the Phoenix optimal lineup. I apologize. I don't know why that's not in front of me. But it's not in front of me. So we're going to skip ahead to Fontana. I'll look back and find out what the Phoenix optimal lineup was eventually. We'll get that and probably attach that to the Phoenix Part 2 podcast. But let's look at Fontana. If you remember Fontana, this was the race where Kevin Harvick had won 3 in a row. It looked like Kevin Harvick was going to go for 4 in a row, although he wasn't starting on the pole. I believe he was starting 12th, which made him seem even more appealing. You thought, well, he's going to get some place differential points and, you know, the hog points as well. But then as he moved his way into 3rd or 4th position, he loses his cool and basically wrecks himself into the wall while battling for position with Kyle Larson. And that pretty much toasts all the Kevin Harvick lineups. And if you played, you know, enough lineups where you didn't have 100% exposure to Kevin Harvick, then you were clearly going to play some Truex, Kyle Busch tandems because they are the big three. And although Truex had really not been impressive as Harvick, you knew he still was halfway decent, and he was halfway decent last year. Sure, last year, 2018, was a step back from 2017, but he still was part of the big three. So Truex starts on the pole. He wins the race, scores a bunch of points, 111 fantasy points, which is a lot for Fontana. Pretty much controls the race. Kyle Busch does okay with 68.5. Never really is able to compete with Truex. He kind of runs away with it. Interesting thing about this Fontana race is that typically the last 10 years, I want to say, 10 years, Fontana has ended with cautions at the end. A green-white shootout at the very end of the race. Always. Always happens at Fontana. Not this time. So we didn't get that random shuffling of the results. We didn't get that. I would imagine we'll get it this year, but hey, last year you didn't get it. So Truex, Busch are going to be your top plays, and then the rest was chalk. If you remember Fontana, everyone misses qualifying, fails qualifying. So they start from the back, a whole slew of drivers, and this was still early in the season when if you miss qualifying, then you got to keep your fresh tires. If you competed in qualifying, then you had to start the race on the old tires. We saw that at Atlanta when Martin Truex Jr., the same thing happened to him, and he just basically video gamed himself right up to the front in no time because Atlanta is a worn track, so fresh tires, huge advantage, easily worked his way to the front, and we witnessed that happen with the guys at Fontana. Fontana, again, another very worn-out racetrack. Not as worn as Atlanta, but clearly having one, being a premier driver, and two, in a premier car, and three, having fresh tires, it makes a difference. So the rest of it was chalk. If you said, here's what I'm going to do, I'm going to fade Harvick, or at least fade Harvick in some lineups. So then that means I'm going to lock in Truex and Bush. And maybe head some with Larson. I mean, that's up to you. But Truex and Bush would have made sense. And then your other four drivers are just randomly picking the guys in the back. And the one that scored the most points was Truex, Bush, and then Johnson, Boyer, Allmendinger, or Kane. Or you could have scored the exact same amount of points with Truex, Hamlin, fade Bush all together, and Johnson, Boyer, Almirola, Cole Witt. Scored 350.5, so you didn't even have to have Kyle Busch. You just took the other guys in the back. And Denny Hamlin started 25th, Johnson 33rd, Boyer 26th, Almirola 27th, Cole Witt 37th. Casey Kane started 34th. Now, there really wasn't that much. Oh, actually, here's one that scored the most. Those were pretty good, but the best was Truex Busch, then Hamlin, Johnson, Allmendinger, Cole Witt. Just taking guys in the back. It's all that it took. I don't believe anyone played that optimal lineup. I believe the winning lineup was split by about five or six people, and they play, it might have been like 20 people, actually. They faded Harvick and Truex Busch, and there was Johnson, Boyd, or Allmendinger, Kane. That was not the optimal lineup that won. A lot of people split the top. The optimal lineup, I don't believe, was built, which had Witt and Allmendinger in it and scored more points. But there it was. I really can't learn anything from that. Maybe you can. If you're entering enough lineups, then yeah, of course. But I'm not telling you anything you don't know. If you're entering 150 lineups, then you probably know that, hey, I probably shouldn't put Kevin Harvick in all 150 of these lineups. I don't even know if you could build 150 Kevin Harvick lineups. I don't think that would work. So, again, you didn't learn anything there. And then, hey, you got Jimmy Johnson starting 33rd. Great, cool. Yeah, of course I'm going to play him. I guess the question is, how much Jimmy Johnson? And the answer is, as much as you can fit. In these situations, it really helps to have Fantasy Cruncher, which I believe Awesomeo. I don't work for Awesomeo or FanAdvice anymore, but I don't mind giving them a shout-out. So if you sign up for Phil's work and you sign up for whatever Awesomeo, the content they provide, they're going to have their Fantasy Cruncher, which will build you 150 lineups if you want to go that route. And on the weeks like Fontana, where you've got 10 cars starting in the back that are really good, it would really help you to have the Fantasy Cruncher as opposed to trying to create those all by your own or create them through an Excel spreadsheet. It's quite an advantage. There are other websites, I believe, too. I'm not completely sure. I'm sure that RotoGrinders has some sort of random car generator, too, where you can it'll punch out a bunch of lines for you. And I would imagine Doc's got one at RotoViz. Probably the guys at DFS Army, you see them all putting together the same exact lineup. You'll see that DFS Army logo, and you know that, well, these guys, if they're not sharing lineups, then they're using the same fantasy crunching type thing. But I do know Awesomeo has the Fantasy Cruncher, and that would be really helpful the weekends where you've got all these guys starting in the back. For me, the weekends where you've got all these guys starting in the back are the weekends where I say, well, I'm not playing. Even if you are smart enough and you, so even if you do win, you're splitting the money and it's still really hard to compete with the 150 guys when you've got all these obvious chalk plays in the back. Happened a couple times last year, and I mean, I said this in the FanBuy Slack when those situations happened. I said, look, these are weekends where I'm going to take off. I don't really care. I'll enter a couple lineups, but if I somehow build the right lineup, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get paid out. Texas optimal lineup. Texas was an interesting race. Texas, the first Texas, was the cold Texas. Texas is a one-groove racetrack, but when it became really cold, that one groove really became very, very fast. And when you got out of the one single groove, there wasn't grip. And if you hit that outside groove with at the high speed that you were maintaining on the good groove, then you flew out of control and wrecked. Which isn't a problem once the race gets going. Cars pretty much spread out and everyone just turns circles around the single groove. But on a restart, you have a double file restart. And so we go through turns one and two at a lower speed because, right, they drop the green flag. So you're building up speed going through turns one and two. Once you get to turns three and four at Texas, you're already at top speed. Well, by that time, we're still, for the most part, running double file. And that means someone's about to hit turn three a little bit on the outside of the groove. And what we saw were multiple wrecks, and the race was pretty much a mess. A lot of wrecks. Truex, Larson, to name a few. Kyle Busch runs away. Doesn't run away from the race. Kevin Harvick was pretty good. Kyle Busch was pretty good. Kevin Harvick had a penalty. He should have had two penalties. in the end, the mistakes Kevin Harvick made on pit road were too much for him to overcome, and he couldn't run Kyle Busch down. Still, Kyle Busch, 117 points. Kevin Harvick, 104 points. Not a big surprise last year. You just played Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch every week that you could, and you won money. So those guys, you lock them in. Then to round out the rest of the optimal lineup, you had Jamie McMurray, who cheated. Don't believe he was busted for the rear window shenanigans. This was a weekend where Jamie McMurray had a terrible run during the spring, kept making mistakes, was great plays, and just never was able to pull through. And this is one of those races where everyone else wrecks, and he ends up finishing third. He started 24th, finishes third, which is fine. Jamie McMurray, $7,000 starting 24th. You love him. The only thing that would hurt you is he just burned people so many times already early in the season. Erik Jones starting 21st, pretty chalky. He raced well at Fontana, or he raced well at Las Vegas. He was having a pretty good season last year, his first year of JGR officially. That's not really that crazy of a play. William Byron started 33rd. So William Byron was a really interesting story. If you paid attention, we were in on this on FanVice. One of the few times, well, not a few times, but every once in a while, if you listen to SiriusXM, you get some nice facts. And so what happened with William Byron was, I believe he blew an engine in practice one. So, boom, he didn't get any time on the track. So qualifying starts, and he really didn't get any time, but the car's ready. So what they did in qualifying was they said, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to go ahead and get into race trim. And so during qualifying, he went out and ran 4 or 5 laps just to get some extra laps of race trim. It looked like, oh, William Byron messed up in practice one, and then qualifying, he's really slow. Well, that's because they were just out there testing and practicing. And then Saturday they went out there, and they were pretty happy with the car. And his crew chief, Darian Grubb, was very excited Sunday, saying, hey, we're starting 33rd, but we're good to go. We know what we're doing. We were basically out there in race trim. We're ready to just walk right through the field. And he did. And he ends up finishing 10th. Now, it helps that a lot of cars wrecked, but they would run well again in the second race at Texas. So, but you wouldn't have known that unless you were listening to SiriusXM and listening to Darian Grubb say, no, here's what we were doing in practice. Here's what we did in qualifying. We actually got a little bit of an advantage because we learned a couple things by running practice laps in race trim during the qualifying session. And then you've got Michael McDowell starting 27th. Not a big stretch there. There's your optimal lineup. That's enough for today. I don't really want to go into every single optimal lineup, but that's a couple optimal lineups. Well, we'll do one more since we'll go to the 15-minute mark, give you guys something to chew on. Optimal lineup at Bristol, you can probably guess that you're going to get Kyle Larson in it, and you're probably going to get Kyle Busch in this. It's a pretty rough and tumble race. You'll remember at the very beginning, again, bad weather at the Bristol race. Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr. wreck on lap two. There's snow. The race stretches over 2 days. When they did get going, it was pretty exciting to watch. Kyle Busch struggles early in the race because we do not get long runs. And I've talked about this in the podcast before. I don't know if you can still access the old Fan Advice podcast where we talk about Bristol, but if you can, you'll hear me mention that Kyle Busch really could not get going in this race because it was a short run, and then it would snow, and they'd stop, and they'd do a short run, and then he just never could get going. But the second half of the race, on day two of the race, finally we would get some long runs, and Kyle Busch is able to make his way through traffic and lead laps and run fast laps. Kyle Larson is fast the entire time, and he scores 150 fantasy points to Kyle Busch's 104. Kyle Larson should win this race, but he doesn't because, was it Stenhouse that wrecks at the end? I don't know if it was Stenhouse. I want to blame Stenhouse. I know Stenhouse got him at Darlington. But someone wrecks at the very end, probably Stenhouse. No, it wasn't Stenhouse. He had a good race. And that means a late race restart brings everybody close together. Otherwise, Kyle Larson runs away with it. Kyle Larson gets off to the lead, but apparently his last set of tires or whatever adjustment they made just didn't work out. And Kyle Busch is able to really just bully his way past Kyle Larson, and Busch gets the win. And one of many disappointing races for Kyle Larson again. Chicago, Darlington, I'm sure there's other ones that I've forgotten what had happened. But either way, Kyle Larson was in control the entire time, looked great. He always runs well at Bristol, running the top groove. Kyle Busch is more of a bottom groove guy. And with the weather changing, it took a while. So a couple of things happened. It took a while for that bottom groove to really warm in. You needed long runs to get that bottom groove going. So that was one of the advantages to Kyle Larson. If we get another cold Bristol race, the top groove runs better if we have a bunch of short runs. If we have a lot of wrecks, it's an advantage to Larson. But if we're able to sustain a long run, the bottom groove really grips in. Another issue with Bristol is if we get a late race restart, which we did in this case, as I mentioned, the bottom groove doesn't really rubber up on a short run. So on the short run, if you start on that outside line, you can grab five or six positions, and maybe you're running in 15th place the whole time, the whole race, and end up finishing eighth just because you started on the outside. It takes a while for that bottom groove to get in. Really hurt Kyle Busch a couple times. Also, you got Jimmy Johnson starts 17th, finishes third. Johnson, you look at 2017, he won at Dover, he won at Bristol. He, although his powers have declined at most racetracks, still at these high-banked concrete tracks, he runs pretty well. Ryan Newman started 30th. Of course, you lock him in. One of the interesting things about Ryan Newman this race, whole race could have changed for Mr. Newman. He's getting lapped by Kyle Larson, and so he wrecks Kyle Larson. It's not that we say, wait a second, Newman's thing is to not let you pass. Well, Larson got by him because Larson can, because he can run multiple grooves at Bristol. So he gets by Newman, passes him. And so it's so long, it looks like Newman's going to go lap down. It's pretty much should be the end of his race. What Newman then does is he dive bombs Larson the next turn after getting passed and just basically wrecks Larson. So it's kind of a strange thing. Usually when we think about Newman, we talk about him blocking people. And people want to argue whether that's okay or not. And that's an argument you can have. This is not an argument. You watch the first Bristol race, and Newman gets passed. And so what Newman does in the next turn is to dive bomb Larson and pretty much dump him. That's a different story. That's not cool. Can't really debate that one. You can watch the video and see exactly what happens. Stenhouse is also in the optimal lineup, not really a surprise. Starts fourth, finishes fourth, runs well during the entire race. 55 fantasy points, not a lot, but just enough fast points. And he's just cheap enough to work his way. Yeah, is it risky? Yes, it's scary, but we do know that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. typically runs well at Bristol. And then rounding out, Landon Castle at 4,600. He just simply finishes the race. He starts 29th. He finishes 20th. But we get that at Bristol, especially in the first Bristol race where a lot of cars got eliminated in the first 5-10 laps. There was tons of wrecks. And then other guys had issues, like Ty Dillon had an issue, so he lost about 30 laps right there. So a guy like Landon Castle, as long as he avoids the wrecks, doesn't have any mechanical issues, doesn't suffer a bunch of penalties, because a penalty itself, you go in and serve a penalty during a green flag, you could lose three laps. You lose three laps, and Landon Castle probably gets out in front of you. I usually like to double punt, but you did not need to double punt in this situation because you had Jimmy Johnson at 8,800. Kyle Larson was only 9,700, so you really didn't need to double punt because although Busch was 11,300, Larson was mispriced at 9,700, and you really didn't need to double punt to take two hogs. If you wanted to try to get three hogs, which is understandable, then you would have had to double punt. And that was, so here's the thing that I didn't mention. Kevin Harvick in this race started 39th. That was a very chalky play in the cash lineup to take Larson, Busch, Harvick, and then double punt. Kevin Harvick started 39th. He had a little bit of damage. He scored 80 fantasy points. He did not get into the optimal lineup. Just two hogs in this optimal lineup. Sometimes we'll get three hogs. And it makes sense to roster three hogs, at least to cover your bases, to make sure that you get two hogs in your life. If you pick three hogs, then the odds of you getting two are correct, and you're going to need two in your life. If you only have one hog in your lineup at Bristol, you're probably not going to make money. So it makes sense to try to roster three. And that's kind of what Jimmy Johnson was to a lesser extent. But two guys pretty much controlled this race. Kevin Harvick, a big number, doesn't get on it. And in terms of optimal lineup, Larson, most points, second most points for Busch. Harvick, third. Johnson, four. Newman, five. Stenhouse, six. And so then you have to go all the way down to Castle is 17th most fantasy points. But he's just a punt so that you can fit in five of the top six drivers. Interesting way to do over again. Obviously, Harvick was going to be chalk. And you could have told yourself, well, maybe Harvick can get himself to the front and eventually in this 500 laps he can lead. But in that race, he suffered damage, so that wasn't going to happen. He wasn't really exceptionally fast in practice either. Harvick's good, but Harvick has not been great at Bristol. He's not really Larson. He is not Bush. That'll do it for our optimal lineups. Just running through, trying to create some content, things to maybe help you out and learn. When I think to myself about Bristol and building that again, I believe probably three hogs. It would be hard to fade Harvick because he is locked into 80 fantasy points. He's expensive, though, and clearly he did not work out in the optimal lineup. I'll bet the guy, I don't know if the guy had him. Thanks for joining me.